In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Apostle writes to Timothy, "Women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control." Giving birth is an honor that God has uniquely bestowed only upon women. They carry, nurture, and bring children into this world. But St. Paul is not teaching us salvation by works. He says, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Faith leads them to carry out their God-given vocation with joy and gladness simply because God is the one who gave it to them. Faith leads them to find honor in bearing children. Faith leads them to desire children. Their vocation is not restricted to childbearing or child raising, but God does highlight it as a unique act of their vocation. And dare I say, the greatest act that a woman could do when it is done in faith. At the birth of Cain, Eve rejoiced, saying, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." Her beloved son would become the first unbeliever. You mothers certainly remember holding your firstborn child. And yet they have not lived up to the expectation that God has established for them when he created them. You know of their sins. But for the believing mother, every birth brings to mind this most holy night, when the new virgin mother holds in her arms God himself. If God had come to earth as an adult, we would only be partially saved. He must be made like us in every way to remove our sin, to sanctify our body, our soul, and our whole life. And so he had to enter the world in the same manner in which we entered the world. He had to be born of a woman. However, our birth is in sin. From the very moment of conception, we are sinful, with no hope of life, peace, joy. And our mothers, as soon as they find out they are pregnant, already feel this sin in morning sickness, discomfort, and other pain. We have inherited sin from our fathers. Adam had a son in his own image, in his own likeness, and named him Seth. We have lost the image and likeness of God. We have lost the holiness and righteousness of God. And in its place, we now have sin. That original sin has spread itself through every inch of our body, buried itself deep within our organs, even penetrating our cells and atoms. It blackens our soul, corrupts our desires and will. Not one part of us is free from its perverse grip. So before a sinful thought ever dances in our mind, before a sinful word ever flees our tongue, before a sinful action is found in our frame, before we are even born from our mothers, we stand condemned. The moment of conception is the very moment that we were placed underneath God's wrath. So our great problem is not what we do, but it's what we are by nature. A leopard cannot change its spots, and a sinner cannot change original sin. We are held accountable for it. The moment of our birth, then, is a moment of anguish for our mothers as they once again feel our sin and their own sin, for they are bringing a sinner into this world. That individual cannot save. This inherited sin is then the root and fountainhead of all other actual sins. Oh, how our mothers are pained when they hear of our sinful words, our sinful actions, or when they see them. This sinful nature in us creates in us the desire to sin against God. Not according to the second table of the law, for it can find some goodness in refraining from murder, adultery, and theft. It wants to live in a civilized society and sees that that might be a good thing to refrain from. But at first table of the law, particularly that first commandment, "You shall have no other gods," it abhors. It hates God. It refuses to submit to God. And even if it wanted to, it couldn't, for it is dead in its sin. So it cannot choose God. It cannot decide for God. It cannot even so much as raise a finger any more than you walk down to a cemetery and those bodies cannot move. So we can reform our actions. We can improve our speech. We can learn good and proper behavior for society. But that does not bring us one inch closer to God or to heaven. The only thing you get is a reformed sinner. The desire of sin is itself sin, along with the desire. But we must understand that it's not human nature. We must make a distinction between the sinful nature and human nature, though for us it is impossible to observe that distinction. So it is not human nature to be selfish, to be selfish, to be arrogant, to be carousing, to be a workaholic, or to lounge around in laziness all day. It is not human nature to be unhappy with your body or to be discontent with your vocation, the place where God has put you. That's our sinful nature, not our human nature. And yet original sin has so thoroughly corrupted each aspect of us that there is not one part of our human nature that is free from its grip. There is not one thought void of it or one action or word done apart from it. The sinful action simply reveals what is true of our hearts. And I have yet to meet a person who has claimed to be perfect. And so all people confess that they are sinners, or, in their words, have made mistakes. The sinful action reveals the heart. Likewise, it is not the sinful nature to be a man or a woman, to be the head of a household or to be submissive, to beget children or to bear children. That is part of the human nature, according to the vocation God has given. And so it is on this most holy night that our Lord sanctifies our sinful birth by his most holy birth. He could not simply show up as a 33-year-old adult and then die the next day. We would not be saved. He had to be made like us in every way, and so he must be conceived to sanctify our sinful conception. He received his humanity in the same way that we receive ours from his mother, only he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and so the human flesh that he took from Mary was sanctified and cleansed of all original sin and impurity so that he might be pure, holy, and spotless, free from the corruption of original sin. And that led this unnamed angel on this holy night to announce to the shepherds good news of great joy. The birth of any child brings joy to all who hear of it, whether they know the couple or not. But only the birth of God brings great joy. Only his birth is good news. For by his birth, he undoes original sin so that we who are born in sin might be made holy by his birth. So that by his birth, our mothers who endured the pain of childbirth might not be condemned. Our God has a human body, but no sin. He has a human soul, but no sin. He has a human will, human desires, but no sin. Where sin pervaded every inch of our body, righteousness fills every inch of his body, every organ, every cell, even down to the atoms. He is holy, even in his soul. For he is born to be the true man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who carries out his vocation with joy and gladness. He is born to be all that man was created to be. So it is human nature then to be like Christ. And whatever we term human nature, if it does not define Christ, then rest assured it is not part of the human nature, but is of the sinful nature. But being a holy and righteous man is not good enough to save. So the angel further declares, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This perfect child is our God. He has come to sanctify our flesh. The sign that God is born is a baby lying in a manger. The sign that God will save you from original sin is a helpless infant. The sign that God will restore you back to the image and likeness of Him is a swaddled infant. The Lord Most High is a baby made like you to redeem you, regardless of where you find yourself in your life. He follows you in every aspect of your life so that he might sanctify you. So he was conceived in holiness to sanctify your sinful conception. You were born in sin, but he was born in perfection to cover your sinful birth. You live as a sinner, despising your vocation, unhappy with your body and your place in life. He lives as a righteous man to create for you a beautiful garment of his own good works. You suffer in this life because you are a sinner. He suffered to pay for your sins. You die because of your sinful nature. He dies to atone for your sin. You will be buried, but his burial, his grave, sanctifies yours. All that he did to save you. Not one aspect of his life was done for himself. Not one part for him, but all was done so that you might be pure, holy, and spotless before God himself. So whether you are young or old, in the womb or giving birth, male or female, he is your Savior. Because of this night, your human nature is given back to you so that you might have joy and gladness in what God has made you instead of pining away for something else. Because of this night, your vocation is given back to you so that you might serve God with joy and gladness wherever you find yourself. Because of this night, men can desire a wife without fear. And women can desire children without fear. For even though they are bringing sinners into a hard and difficult sinful world, tonight the Savior is born. He has sanctified you and this world. So yes, let us sing with that unnamed angel, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.